This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge, with respect, the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elder women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future. Welcome to Broad, March 6, 2017. It's Broad tonight, and certainly is a bit broad already. Now, tonight we'll be chatting to a fabulous Ms. Risk in the studio. That was her choice of music.
Yeah, thank you for playing that.
Yeah, Sade, a favourite.
For most people, I hope.
I'd hope so, yeah. Gorgeous and stunning vocals. Probably one of the greatest albums from the 80s, I reckon.
Definitely. She had some major releases in the 80s, yeah. Like two of them, and they were both fantastic.
Blue album, I can't remember the name of it. Terrible. Also tonight, it's our International Women's Day special. So talking about that and touching on what it means to us here on Broad. We'll have a chat to a guerrilla girl, Unmasked, the infamous and iconic artists and activists, agent provocateurs. So we have Afra Ben, we're talking to them later. Our local poet and feminist woman of action, Lana Wolf, and a woman from Mars, well, almost. Yes, they're not all from Venus, you know. Almost. NASA astronaut, simulated astronaut, Carmel Johnston. And, of course, talking about a world of women tonight here on the planet Earth and a little bit off the Earth tonight as well. So only on Broad and Joy 94.9. You can message us in on 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. So it's all happening. Miss Risk is here to talk about themselves, what they do, identity as far as, nationality, home, country, and, well, you do radio as well, so you broadcast too.
Yeah, I do broadcast, mm-hmm. And I have my own show on community station Kiss FM.
Cool.
Every Thursday morning, but at the moment I'm filling in on a show called Black Wax, which is a jazz-based program on PBS FM because I really love jazz, but I've been given the okay to spread the show's wings a little bit and produce a program of music that I really love and want to share. So today was great. I got to do a showcase of women that I love because, of course, this week, International Women's Day is on Wednesday, so let's celebrate some amazing artists. So it was great doing that, yeah.
Is that not the kind of stuff you usually play when you're out?
Well, depending on the gigs that I have, I do play jazz out. Mm-hmm. Like Melbourne International Jazz Festival will get me to play a few jazz sets there. Mm. But predominantly I play at various venues around Melbourne, and of course depending on the night and the time will depend on the genre I choose, but I've got quite broad tastes, so to speak.
That's perfect for Broad.
It is
broad
perfect.
Tastes. Yeah, Kiss FM, awesome. I see the name jumping out here. I'm looking at this piece of paper, which no one can see, of course, because we're on radio.
Right.
And one of my, two of my favourites there. Ooh, three. Jill Scott. Robert Glasper's, is it the Experiment?
Yeah, the Robert Glasper Experiment.
Wow. And they've worked together, so that's even better.
They have. Worked together. Yeah, I supported Jill Scott when she on her only tour so far to Australia a few years ago, and she was phenomenal. And, I've met Robert a number of times and, spending time with him and chatting. He's a very talented artist, despite some... He's been a bit naughty this past week, and there's some interviews, but, we'll leave that for another week to chat, but, unfortunately.
I didn't check that news out.
No, so that's okay.
Should I not? At the stage?
Maybe not. While you're liking Robert, let's...
keep it that way.
Yeah.
Cool. But you've also got, you do events you're involved with... feminist events and clearly intersectional stuff. And can we talk about a bit of that? Obviously, you think that's important?
Yeah, I think it's important. Well, I'm very fortunate to be able to, I've been running events for a while in Melbourne and I have a really great relationship with a few venues, and one of them allowed me to run a Tuesday night there, which has become a weekly event. And the purpose of the event was to showcase emerging artists that obviously don't have the spaces to, I guess, practice or share their new music or art. Because obviously getting the big gigs and pulling in big crowds at bigger venues in Melbourne, of course, you require a huge following. But where are the spaces for those just coming up and need to practice and have their friends come and support and work out how good their stuff sounds? So I've been running this night for a few months now, and it's really successful and it's really sweet. And the only, unfortunately, the only issue with the space is, of course, it's not accessible, which is not accessible. It's in a loft, so it's not accessible to everybody. But that being said, I do run events at their sister venues as well that, of course, are accessible. So every now and again, I do pull people that have been playing at my Tuesdays and curate events with them. So that way other people don't miss out all the time.
Right. Yeah, no, that's the thing. I was reading something online too about looking at accessibility, you know, and safety too.
Of course.
You know, safety from harassment, from racism, from sexism and misogyny and all that stuff. It's becoming apparent that things need to be done and there's, you know, a lot of things to address.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, in club culture and I think in general culture around the world, those things happen quite often. And it can be distressing for people coming to have a good time. And I think on my night, for the most part, it's very rare so far. Thankfully, there haven't been any reports on anything that people, you know, on that tip. So there haven't been people that are, that hasn't happened. But if someone is a bit drunk or a bit unsavory, I notice it immediately because it is a small space. And luckily, you know, I don't get questioned about my decisions to remove people. The venue just remove them immediately because I've no interest in having that kind of energy in that space. It's supposed to be a fun and positive space, so I like to keep it that way. And I mean, and that's another thing. A lot of venues have been created around Melbourne, and depending on the space and where it is, unfortunately, the developers of these spaces haven't always thought about the accessibility for those that need access. And and it makes things a bit
safe and comfortable.
And to be safe, I mean, I guess sometimes it's not their major priority. But in the same breath, we do have a lot of venues around Melbourne that are quite good.
Yeah. It's looking good. Okay. Now, you've got something you're doing on International Women's Day. Is it part of the Brunswick?
Yeah, Brunswick Music Festival. Cool. It's already began. Chelsea Wilson, the music director and the programmer for that festival, has done a miraculous job with bringing acts together. And Sydney Road Music Festival was on Sunday, and that was looked like a huge success. I wasn't there yesterday, but reports, it looked successful.
It was only Sunday yesterday.
It was Sunday yesterday. Whoa.
Whoa, what? Yeah, I don't know what week it is yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, this Wednesday, I'm very lucky to be performing at an event called Unity.
Yeah,
and it's a Women's Day concert at the Brunswick Town Hall. It begins at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available from Brunswick Music Festival, the website. I guess you can Google it.
I'll put it up on the Facebook page too.
Great.
Help.
Yeah, and I'm performing with some amazing local women, such as Kylie Oldest, Ajak Kwai, and Chelsea Wilson herself, Emily Waramara, Parvin, and of course Whiskey Houston's playing as well. So
it's a big event.
It's a huge event with some amazing, amazing, fabulous acts and women, and different genres as well. And there's some spoken word there as well.
Yeah, like doing all these sort of things. You've also got, is it Woman of the World Make Noise?
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
That's outdoors, so.
Yes, that's a free event. That's for all the people. The Footscray Community Arts Centre. Women of the World is a 3-day conference and festival celebrating women. It's the first time in Melbourne, so I'm excited about performing at that event.
Yeah, some of my favourites. Yeah, Sampa the Great, Mojo Juju, of course.
Yes, Tando.
Black Sisters, it's
huge.
Great.
Huge and free.
Yes.
Bring your picnic blankets.
With some food. Not in the blanket, but maybe in the basket. Yes. Yeah, bring your basket. Yes. Wow. So, look, you've been to a couple of things that I've been to, but we haven't met. It's one of those things.
So it was nice to meet you, Sonia. Thank you for allowing me onto the show.
Thank you.
Without meeting me. So it's taking a risk there.
Really, well, it goes with your name, you know, it's perfect. No, you were at the Listen conference.
Yeah, I did speak on a panel. Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
Which I missed, probably.
No, that's okay.
Missed the risk.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, that was an amazing panel.
What were you talking about?
That was the Safe Spaces panel.
Ah, right.
And so a lot of the questions that I responded to were, of course, in relation to my work as a DJ and being one of the very minimal amount of female DJs in this industry, but being able to live off that work and be somewhat successful in the industry. But, I mean, it's such a huge topic, Sonia, I would say, to discuss the DJ industry in Australia and the world.
At least.
It would be, yeah. But it was really great. It was really lovely meeting the other panelists and bringing insight and different perspectives.
Because Coco Solid was there.
Yes,
too.
Yeah. I wasn't on her panel, but I'm. Oh. You know, her keynote was brilliant and yeah,
lots of things to talk about.
It's quite amazing. Yes.
So, okay, I'll throw a question at you. Why do you think intersectionality is important in the music scene that you're involved in? And I mean, because we're talking about, you know, International Women's Day, it says, what's the hashtag? Hashtag be bold for change or something like that.
Right. I'm not really familiar with the hashtagging of that thing. And International Women's Day is a great day to celebrate, of course, all women of all colour and all humans that identify as women and even those that don't, you know. I mean, It's what I love at the moment is a lot of the people are talking about it and a lot of questions are being asked and people are being called out on their behaviour, especially if it's making others uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so intersectionality, I think, is important in all facets of life, not just the music industry, but I guess the music industry is such a corporate money-making industry and, of course, the system is that it is run by males and males that are white and males that are white and have a specific agenda, you know, which predominantly doesn't include, you know, welcoming or including or even not thinking about the intersections and providing opportunities. So I guess that's why it's important to talk about it.
Cool. Now, where can people go to find out more about you?
My website is... Yeah, I do have a website. It's mizrisk.com. So it's mzrizk.com. And I guess, the website will let you know where I am and what I'm doing and where I'm at. But Facebook as well, Instagram. Follow me on socials like.
Cool.
Or if you're in Melbourne, feel free to come and join me on a Tuesday night and hear some spoken word or watch some upcoming acts that you're not familiar with.
Tuesday night, where's that? What do you
at Ferdy Dirk? So the night Ferdy I Dirk. Briefly spoke about earlier.
Yep.
Yes.
Was Sonia listening?
Yes, Sonia was.
Of course.
But there's so much to talk about. So
I know. And I've got another track I'm going to play of yours shortly. Well, one that you've chosen.
Yes.
Can you tell me what? Doncha.
Doncha is a track by The Internet, and the lead singer, Sid, identifies as gay, of course, and she is just blowing up, has just released a solo album.
Ooh,
she's released three albums with The Internet previously, and she's the only, woman in that group. It's, you know, all men, but she's absolutely killing the game in terms of vocals and musically, and she's also a producer and very, very talented. And this is a song from the third album, Ego Death, I think it's called. From The Internet.
Cool.
But there's still one more recent album, just a solo, the one that she just released this year as well.
Talent. So much great talent.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So people can catch you Kiss FM.
Kiss FM on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. or PBS at the moment at 11 a.m. on Mondays. And Ferdy Dirk on a Tuesday. It's the easiest place to find me,
By Thursday... You're probably a bit over it.
I can't really be over it. It's my livelihood, I can't get tired because if I stop, everything stops.
I know that feeling.
You know that feeling?
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, you probably...
I think I'm displaying it right now.
Yes, but you also know that, you know, as women, we have to work 10 times as harder just to prove our worth, you know, and we're battling a lot of the time mediocre people that are getting more opportunities and we kind of sit in the back, you know, just rolling our eyes a little bit, but you just
sitting in the back. I might call the book that, sitting in the back.
Sitting in the back, but that's why I do get tired, but the energy and the adrenaline to keep going is overpowers the exhaustion,
it's
I guess.
It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool. Look, it's been really brief, I know, but it's time to go.
Absolutely. Well, look, you have a lot of amazing guests on with a lot of amazing things to contribute,
but you're
Sonia.
You're a real life person, though. But you're real. I'm real. You're living in the studio right
yes,
now.
Yes,
and that's really cool.
It like, is. Thank you so much
you
for
are.
Having me here.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it.
It's fantastic. Well, listen to Don't Show from the Internet, a choice track. Ms. Risk,
thank you
very much.
No, thank you.
Catch you later. This is Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Scarlett, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Broad on Joy 94.9. Our thanks to Miss Risk. Almost lost my voice there. Miss Risk, also known as DJ Risk, Dan Risk. Very dope and very awesome. One of the fabulous active DJs in the female unity and female community. And, of course, I'll put that on the Facebook page for Broad on Joy 94.9. Head to Facebook to find out more about all the things that they're doing for International Women's Day, and there's plenty of good music and spoken word and all sorts of stuff that's happening. And of course the Brunswick Music Festival has started. So thanks for coming in and talking to us, Ms. Risk. Awesome. Up next, Jane Connery from Broad Designs speaks to someone called Donna Katz, also known as AKA. Well, you'll have to find out. Stay tuned, listening to us here on Broad. Don't forget, message us 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au and let us know what you're doing for International Women's Day. Hashtag Be Bold for Change. for 2017. This is Jane Connery and a little bit of me speaking to someone called Donna Katz, a gorilla girl, unmasked, only on Broad. Broad Designs is women in design, the politics, the art, the women, the designs. Jane Connery is your host, talking to female designers about design. Broad Designs on Broad Joy 94.9.
This is Jane Connery on Joy 94.9, and this is Broad Designs, where I talk to women who design and make sure we hear their voices loud and proud. The Gorilla Girls are a feminist activist group based in New York who call out gender inequality in the arts, all while wearing rubber gorilla masks and taking on the names of dead female artists. This internationally acclaimed group was founded in 1985, incensed by an exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, where only 17 women artists were represented in a show of 165. The concept grew as like-minded kick-ass women were encouraged to join the cause. Last year, they set up a complaints department in the Tate Exchange in London, inviting everyone to post complaints about art, culture, and any other issues they cared about. They are feminist icons and my personal heroes. It is with huge anticipation tonight that we unmask Afra Ben and merge this anonymous alter ego with the playwright, producer, and artistic director of Gorilla Girls on Tour, Donna Katz. Donna, welcome to Broad Designs.
Thank you for having me.
Now, your new book, Unmasked, documents your life struggling to follow your dreams in the theatre and how you got involved with the Gorilla Girls. Can you tell us about what it meant to you being a part of this group?
It meant a great deal for me. At the time, I was a playwright working in New York City, trying to get my plays produced. I actually began as an actor, and I was very frustrated at the roles that I was being offered, so I started writing plays. I lived in New York for a time, moved to Los Angeles, worked in the film business, found that extremely sexist and unfulfilling. So I moved back to New York City, and I thought I was moving back to the liberal, wonderful, welcoming, diverse theater community. When I got back, I realized that all the plays on Broadway, or a large percentage of the plays on Broadway, were written by white men, that commercial theater companies in New York City were producing season after season of 5, 6, 7 plays written by white men, all directed by white men, and that the theater community was not very welcoming to women or artists of color. I got a residency. I was at a colony with a bunch of artists, and I met a visual artist there, and I started to complain to her about the lack of parity for women in theater. And she gave me a book to read, and it was The Confessions of the Gorilla Girls' first book, which contained all of their posters attacking the visual art world for their lack of parody. And I thought, this is so great. This is such a great idea, and this is what the theater community needs. Well, a few days later, I met her again, gave her the book back, and said, I really need to speak to the Gorilla Girls because the theater world really needs feminist masked Avengers. Do you happen to know any? And she said that she admitted to me that she was a gorilla girl. And she explained that this was in 1995. She explained to me that the Gorilla Girls had been around for 10 years. They were experiencing a little bit of burnout, and they were looking for new members, and would I like to join? And of course, I jumped right at the chance and became a gorilla girl, took on the pseudonym of Afra Ben, and proposed to the Gorilla Girls that we start attacking other art forms, other genres, and that theater really needed us. So there happened to be other women in the Gorilla Girls who were performance artists and filmmakers and were more into performance and theater, and together we formed a theater committee and we began a push to address gender parity in the theater world.
There's a real theme of invisibility and visibility in your book. Firstly, how does it feel to now be unmasked, and how would you explain the strength in acting anonymously?
It feels wonderful to be unmasked. I think it was a very important story for me to tell about my journey as an activist and as a feminist, and I felt that perhaps I could inspire other women by sharing with them exactly how it happened for me and how empowering it was for me to wear the mask, but also the tactics of the Guerrilla Girls. We would meet every 28 days, and we would meet in small groups. The theater committee was a small group of 4, 5, 6, 7 women, and because we were a small group, we were able to get a lot of work done. We would plan out actions, and we would make posters, we would make stickers, we planned out activist campaigns. We went into the toilet stalls of these theater companies that were not producing any plays by women, and we put stickers up in the toilet stalls that said, in this theater, the taking of photographs, the use of a recording device, and the production of plays by women is strictly prohibited. And that was very empowering. And, you know, we would present our ideas to the larger Guerrilla Girl group for approval. And that's sort of how we got a lot of work done, with these small groups. And now in the time of Trump, I'm trying to go around and inspire women. There's a lots of activism happening now in the States, and it seems to me that this small group model is a good one. I thought that as soon as people knew how sexist theater was, the theater world would change immediately. They just didn't realize it. They needed me and the Guerrilla Girls to show them that they needed to be more inclusive of women and artists of color. But, of course, that didn't happen. We've been working at addressing gender parity in theater for almost 20 years now, and suddenly there are many, many groups in the States and worldwide that are focused on providing access for more women in theater and more artists of color in theater, and I think that's a success of what we started in the late 90s. When I was wearing the mask, it was extremely empowering, as you can imagine, to say whatever you want to say, and nobody knows who you are saying it. So the mask was a tactic. It was a tool we used to get people to focus on the issues we were talking about instead of on ourselves.
Donna, there's been criticism that feminist activism can ignore issues like racism and discrimination against our LGBTQIA community. But in your book, you write, diversity and inclusivity are important goals for our membership, and we try, not always successfully, to achieve them. Look, I know it's a tough gig. I absolutely appreciate the issues in gender inequality that you do tackle. But can you tell us how your work has been in addressing intersectionality?
As a member of the Guerrilla Girls, we were always discussing these issues within the group. At one point, we did not have many women of color members, and there was it was a problem. And we talked about it a lot. We also read a lot about it. We didn't have many young members at one point. We were always sort of aware of this and trying to correct the situation. Now, of course, in an anonymous group, you know, we didn't send out advertisements in the paper, you know, Guerrilla Girls Wanted. We had to, within our own group, sort of tap into the people that we knew that might make good members. And so we did have, you know, at some points we were more inclusive than other points, but it is difficult in a grassroots organization to try to keep the membership inclusive and diverse. And we were always trying to make that happen. Of course, we didn't always succeed. Also, as a group, we were often accused of not being diverse. I remember I went to an event with another Guerrilla Girl, Lorraine Hansberry, who is a woman of color. It was winter. We were wearing a lot of clothes, and people couldn't see that she was a woman of color, and we were accused of not having women of color on the stage. So there is this point, too, of the anonymity and how that might mask who we actually are. I think that feminism, especially the feminist movement in the United States, has had a lot of problems with including women of color and making them feel like they have a place at the table. I think that now, since the election happened, there is more of an effort to talk about that's the past, let's move forward, let's all get involved in LGBTQI rights, let's all march with the Black Lives Matter movement, let's all bond together, and that's sort of a wonderful feeling. The intersectionality as a concept and as a theme and as an importance grew as we grew as a group, and so we were always trying to keep up with that. And we made some mistakes. I admit that we made some mistakes, and at some points we didn't actually succeed, but that's part of the struggle and part of the process of being involved in a grassroots movement.
Donna, we're talking to you during the week of International Women's Day, and we're celebrating everything feminist. You've written also in your book, I am Donna Katz, I am Afra Ben, I'm an artist, an activist, and a survivor. I am gender parity and feminism and humour. I am theatre, I am comedy, and I am perfect rhythm, and I am talent, I am success, I am a success. These are such wise words of self-awareness and affirmation. What advice have you got for young women wanting a career in the arts and the journey of self-discovery that lays ahead?
Well, I would just say you have to have endurance. It is a long haul, and there are going to be many roadblocks and disappointments along the way. Persevere. As artists, we are the truth tellers of the world. And there are certain periods of time in the world where being a truth teller is not going to be very attractive or very popular. But our job is to reflect back the truth. And we must always keep on point. And if we do that, we are successful. And that's what I meant by I am a success. I think a lot of times we get caught up in the business of writing and the business of creating art. And this is measured by how much money one makes or how much accolades one acquires. But over the course of time, I think as artists, we all have the self-satisfaction of creating the best work that we can. And we must be able to tap into that to continue on. Right now, it is extremely important, especially United States artists. You must have strength. So you must practice self-care. You must surround yourself with like-minded, wonderful artists who support you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time tonight, Donna. Your story is inspirational and your work is very, very cool. I'm a big fan. I've posted links to the Broad Facebook page with more information about Donna's book, Unmasked, and podcasts to all the Broad shows. I'm Jane Connery, and you're listening to What Women Have to Say on Broad Designs, Joy 94.9. Thanks, Sonia.
Thanks. I think we forgot one thing.
Thank you.
What did we forget?
Afra Ben.
Ah, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, that was a question that we had. It's dropped off my page. Could you tell us a story about your Gorilla Girl name?
All Gorilla Girls choose the name of dead women artists, and I already knew that I wanted to be Afra Ben. Afra Ben was the first woman to make a living as a writer in the United Kingdom. She wrote plays, poetry, and prose. She is known for her body material and her feminist themes. She also used pseudonyms herself as a writer. Mm. She wrote poetry under the name of Estrella. And she was also a spy for the government of Charles II. So wow. All of those things combined, plus the fact that her name, Afra Ben, had the same number of syllables as my name, Donna Kaz, just led me to be drawn to her. I thought she was a very cool artist. And I figured it was a name that I could relate to, that I could, because as there is an aspect of taking on these names too. Whenever we appear in public, we talk about these women whose names we have taken, and a lot of times these women are in the back pages of the history books. People don't really know about them. A lot of people don't know about Afra Ben, so it's a way to educate and discuss women who have been missing from history. Her story. So I loved Afra Ben, and I got used to identifying as Afra Ben. I still identify as Afra Ben, even though I have Unmasked. And that's why I took her name.
I think on our Facebook page we have to ask all our listeners what their Gorilla Girl name would
be. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think we all have one inside.
That's fantastic.
Us.
So what is yours going to be?
Oh, really? I don't know. I'll have to pick a New Zealand one, I think.
Yeah.
I'll have to do a bit of research on that, I think. Yeah.
I might have to be Margaret Preston, Australian artist.
Great. Oh, of course. Yeah, cool. Oh, well, look, thank you very much, Afra Ben. I mean, Donna. I mean...
Afra?
awesome feminist woman.
This is Donna Kaz, a.k.a. Afra Ben, Gorilla Girl, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Dream of a land my soul is from.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Thanks again to Jane Connery from Broad Designs for that insightful interview that she organised with Donna Kaz, a.k.a. Afro Ben. I have to look up more about that and put that on the Facebook page. You can always contact us on Twitter as well at BroadFem949 or SMS us 0427JOY949 on air at joy.org.au or 1300JOY949 if you want to give us a call. Now, speaking to a simulated astronaut, what does that mean? Find out more with this interview I had earlier today with Carmel Johnston over here exclusively for the Wheeler Centre and WOM Adelaide. So let's check that out. It is going to be International Women's Day, and there is so much to talk about. So we'll have to podcast this with some extra bites, sound bites that there's, of some feminists later on tonight. If I can get my act together and get this up on the old, loaded up on the old website of Joy, we'll see how we go. In the meantime, here's a little bit of biting from a simulated astronaut all the way from Hawaii. And beyond the stars, feminism does go. This is Broad on Joy and 94.9. I'm Sonia from Broad on Joy 94.9. And thank you for for speaking to us. Carmel Johnston is here in Melbourne for the Wheeler Centre. So you're speaking tonight, Monday, 6th of March, at the Wheeler Centre to a whole bunch of people. I believe it's booked out totally now. Great.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, wow, great news.
That's great. So, of course, Carmel, we haven't spoken to an environmental scientist before on the show, on our show here on Joy, or... As a matter of fact, you're an astronaut.
Well, I'm an astronaut candidate. I'm not an actual astronaut.
Okay. So an astronaut has to have been out into space. Is that right?
Well, actually, I was a a simulated astronaut. So more so, my project that I was working on was a simulation of a space, like a space voyage. And so I have the same qualities that an astronaut would have, but I am not in the NASA pool of astronauts simply because we're just two different pools right now.
But if need be, you know, you might find yourself somewhere else, not just
Well, the thing is that there's just so many people that are in. I mean, there were 18,000 people that applied for the American astronaut pool, and I didn't even make it through for an interview at this point. So there's so many highly qualified people that, yeah, I was a part of this project and I survived for the year, but it's just kind of a different thing than the actual astronaut candidate pool. I mean, I could go into more detail if you were interested, but I'm not an actual astronaut right now.
All right. Well, you're close enough. That's really good. That's really
amazing. Yeah, you can say simulated astronaut on air. That's accurate.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. So, yes, you're over here to talk about an experience that sounds amazing, very interesting. A whole year at something called High Seas, which stands for, is this right, Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation Project. Can you tell us briefly what that was?
Yeah, so the entire High Seas program is designed specifically to look at the social and the psychological aspects of isolation and confinement on human beings, and they do it under the constraints of a mission to Mars. And so a lot of the things that you have to do to live by in the dome are specific to, you know, the issues that you would have on Mars. So you have to have a light time delay in your communications where it takes 20 minutes for a message to go from one planet to the other.
Okay.
You can't have anything in instant communication. You don't have the internet, all the different aspects of what life will be like on Mars. We were trying to recreate as best we could within, you know, the confines of human test subjects and all the different rules about that.
And it's also situated in a very remote part of Hawaii, is that right? It's a volcanic region.
Yeah, so it's on the slopes of Mauna Loa Volcano in Hawaii on the Big Island. And it's a location that's specifically chosen because it's isolated from all of the human beings. No one would ever come up there for any reason. And there's also no life or any plants or animals up there. So it's physically, it looks a lot like Mars, and it's physically located away from all of the human beings. So there's no contact at all during the entire year.
Wow. And so when you do go outside of, you do go outside of the pod or the dome, you have to dress accordingly, like suit up, basically.
Yeah, we had to wear a spacesuit to go outside. Mm. And so that's because on Mars you would have to wear a spacesuit. Mm-hmm. And ours were very similar. We had two different kinds of spacesuits, but the ones that were most representative, you know, look like your typical white normal spacesuit. And it weighs quite a bit. It weighs about the same proportion as it would on Mars. And it's not a complete life support system simply because that costs like billions of dollars to make. But it has the same constraints as a spacesuit would have on you. So you can't smell the outside. You can't feel or taste or touch or, you know, all of your senses are completely deprived of you. So, you know, it has that effect on how the spacesuit would otherwise.
So with the psychological aspect, was there a time where you, you know, that phrase, what do you call it, hit the wall? And how did, what were the coping mechanisms for that?
Yeah, I don't think that any of us really hit the wall that I could say for sure. And even if people did experience that, that's going to come out in the results later on, in the report that they write for NASA. And so what some of the coping mechanisms that we used, I like to run, and so I use that both for a physical and a mental coping mechanism. I also like to clean and to cook and do arts and crafts. And really, I think one of the biggest coping mechanisms you can take for away from this is having a good sense of humor and being, one, be able to laugh at yourself, but also being amused with the absurdities of life. Because if you can't laugh at yourself and you can't laugh at what's going on, you know, in hindsight, then it's going to be a really hard life for you.
And you were the crew commander, is that right, of the project when you were there that year? Now, because we're a show and we look at women's experiences and feminist ideas and things, what was there any thing that you think, Phil, was different because you're a woman in charge?
Not particularly. One thing I noticed is that all the females on the crew were all very dominant female personalities to begin with. And all the males are very kind of easygoing, happy-go-lucky, and they kind of just listened to whatever we said. So it was very easy for us to work together because we didn't necessarily have any conflicts. We didn't, certainly there wasn't a a male versus female stigma about anything, because if anything, the females knew more about how to do just about everything than the males did.
That is fantastic. Speaking to Carmel Johnston, but we are running out of time because there is too much goodness for International Women's Day comes early here on Broad on Joy 94.9. And I can't miss out a little bit of Lana Wolf, the wonderful activist, poet, spoken word artist, broadcaster, and all sorts of community work that she does. I just want to play a bit of what she has to say about International Women's Day. We chatted earlier on in the early hours of this morning here at the Joy Studios on Bourke Street in Melbourne. So let's have a chat with that. And thank you too. We've had a message has come in. You can still message me on 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Had an anonymous message saying, so many inspirational women on Broad tonight. Amazing work, Sonia. Bring on IWD. That's right. International Women's Day is this Wednesday, March the 8th. Lots of things happening. So hashtag be bold for change. This is Lana Wolf, and this is Broad on Joy 94.9. Lana Wolf. Lana Wolf.
Yeah. They should know my voice by now.
Where are you from? Where's she from?
Who knows?
That's part of where she's from. Who are you? I'm Broad on Joy 94.9.
Talking about the incident that I had yesterday where I was racially profiled on a train and thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I have this white man here standing over me, taunting me. And
pushing you, basically.
Yeah, taunting me, telling me that I didn't have a ticket and that I was just lying because I'm some, you know, black woman
fair,
and misogyny. I kept
later,
thinking of the International Women's Day theme for this year because I was going to a storytelling event, a women's storytelling event, where we had to tell stories about being bold. And I was like, no, Lana, just be bold, just be bold. And so I was. I was in my element and I was going, you can just wait for my ID.
Yep.
I'm going to find my ticket. I'm going to give you my ticket because I do have a valid ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will give you my ID and then you can just back off.
Be bold for change.
I was. I was talking like that. I was being really strong. I felt really scared inside because he's standing over me. I'm tired.
Yeah.
He's taunting me in front of other people.
Yeah. Strangers.
Strangers. Mm. No one doing anything else. And he's standing over me and I'm looking through my bag going, oh God, where is my ticket? And I'm just going, be bold for change. But the reality is that being a woman of colour, if we speak out, oh, we're just being angry.
Angry. Lana, you're such an angry woman. Why don't you smile more?
And it's just such a catch-22. You know, I need to be bold to assert my rights.
You're so aggressive. Do you get that?
You're an aggressive
black woman.
I need to be to be able to even just carve out the space of being able to say these are my rights. And yet if I do that, we then get vilified for something else. You know, there's no way to win. It's just such a tricky thing.
And it's the thing of never having the space to be able to say, we don't want to win. We just want to have the space to be ourselves and be our bold, beautiful black selves. It's tormenting. It's tiring. It's probably something else that starts with T, but it's totally, it's destructive and to ourselves. And it's, white people aren't being hurt. White people aren't in any way missing out. We're not taking anything away from them. Why do they constantly think that we are going to rip them off or underpay them or undercut them or under something, underestimate them?
And it's part of those bigger narratives, like that racial profiling, the bigger narratives of what it means to be a woman. It means that you're over emotional. And I did cry afterwards. I had a cry because I was just
awful.
So distraught. And I just felt so disempowered. And he pulled me off the train, threatening to call the police to arrest me.
Yeah,
and I had
horrible.
A ticket somewhere in my bag, which I eventually produced.
To threaten police on people, it's happened to me. I get constantly profiled when I'm on public transport if they're around. And it just gets to the point where you know, like I had this elderly gentleman, I spoke about it last week on the show, this elderly guy got pushed off his seat in front of me. He was just trying to sit down with his luggage and stuff, and he got broad daylight, pushed off his seat on the tram by this young guy. And of course, when the inspectors turned up, you know what they said? Oh, what colour was he? I said he was white. The young guy was white, okay? They wanted to know, oh, was he, you know, was he black?
Because if he was black, he was violent, and if he was white,
I haven't seen any violence from black men on the trams. Yeah. I've been kicked by a white man on the tram, and then I had to watch while this old guy got chucked off his seat. And I had to intervene. I had to step in there. But heck, you know, the profiling needs to stop. And there's nothing wrong with being bold.
Yeah. So I guess it's an interesting thing thinking about International Women's Day and thinking about intersectionality and what it means to be a woman and the kinds of things that we're fighting for and why we have to fight for them. And I guess from my lens, from my viewpoint, being a woman is something in which a lot of work has been put in to delegitimize women, to delegitimize the status of women, to delegitimize the value of women, and therefore be able to participate in a world in where patriarchy does reign. Women are devalued. Women can be and are paid less, regardless of what legal status we have technically in the world. And it's just the same as if you're a person of colour. You know, those bigger stories that delegitimise you, devalue you, you get paid less, you have less value in society. Just like people with disabilities, you're delegitimised, you're devalued, you're paid less. And so thinking about where all of these things interplay, what if you're a woman of colour who has a disability? You know, what if, you know, you're anything but a man that is in the 1% or a person that isn't the 1%, these stories, these bigger narratives are perpetuated again and again for the economic benefit of that 1%. And, you know, trying to be bold, but it means being bold for women. It means being bold for people of colour. It means being bold for people with disabilities. It means being bold for queer people. It means being bold and showing solidarity across the board.
Yes, and this is the end of this part of Broad here on Joy 94.9 for International Women's Day, our little special precursor to the big day, which is this Wednesday the 8th. And remember, it's hashtag Be Bold for Change. There's also a media release here I've got in my little hot hand. Large crowds expected this International Women's Day rally in Melbourne. So this Wednesday, around about 5:30 p.m. at the Parliament House, Parliament Building, Parliament Steps here in Melbourne Town. Head on down if you are available. It's all about International Women's Day and marking it as Be Bold for Change. And probably there's a lot of other hashtags. So they're expecting about 10,000 women and allies to rally on and down there, march for the liberation of all women. And of course, Melbourne spokesperson Elizabeth Fawn says, whatever our race, ethnicity, class, ability, age, caste, origin or immigration status, the idea is to be there. And that sexism still affects all women. And International Women's Day brings us together to put our issues at the centre of the political agenda. So that indeed. And speaking of an agenda, we have the wonderful Beck with Bite Me Down Under on right in like a few seconds. I've gone over. Sorry, Beck. But thanks again to Jane Connery for Broad Designs. Thanks to Donna Cax. But Kaz, what am I saying? Cats, as in cats, I think. Carmel Johnston, the organisers of the Wheeler Centre for that interview, and chatting to Lana Wolf. Thank you so much again, wonderful spoken word poet and activist and feminist, woman of colour. Beck, take us to where we need to go with the music. You're listening to Joy on... No, you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening.
I'm so blessed because I came from a very egalitarian society in a very egalitarian home with a lot of brothers. I could see what knuckleheads they were, and I knew I was not inferior to them in any way. So like, I never thought, never experienced any deficit, you know, so it didn't really register with me. I do recognize, however, that that's not everybody's experience. I was just the luckiest, one of the luckiest children in the world, you know. Mm. So I don't deny the need for equality activism in all areas of society, but including women's equality. But I was so... I'm one of the few people who so far has kind of... I've benefited from a lot of women's hard work, you know, because women through the 60s and 70s, well, I was the kid who...
Who inspired you then? Who was an inspiration?
Oh, well, my mother, and believe it or not, Catholic nuns. I went to, you know, Catholic school, and it was all run by nuns, and they were good women. There was none of this hateful kind of broomsticking behavior that, you know, goes on. They were good women. They were, and they're real activists, and they've been such supporters of me and my activism. So I got nothing but good things to say about the women that were around me as a child, and a lot of them were Catholic nuns.
Amazing, yes. Very staunch and feisty, some of them, I should imagine.
And good, that lived lives of service, and we were expected to do the same, and I hope that's what I'm continuing to do.
I can imagine you in a nun's habit, to be honest. fighting the good fight, you know, with superpowers.
Well, you know, I did wear one
It suits you.
Renee O'Connor and I were playing nuns. I was Mother Superior, and she was, I don't know, Sister Mary Catherine or something. And, we did do something. But it didn't do justice to the wonderful nuns that helped raise me, to be honest.
So what do you want to say to those who are listening, to, say, young women who are listening, or women who aren't sure about their own power and how to empower them and get them, you know?
You know, I don't know how to answer that question exactly, but here's something that's in my mind at the moment, because I've had somebody in my life that I really see them struggling to do this, and it's a young woman, to put a boundary of decency around herself, beyond which certain things, if it transgresses that boundary, about safety or about relationships, there's a little invisible force field around you. If it steps inside that, and it's unwanted, or it does not deserve to be within your, you're in a space, it's gone. And I don't know how to teach that to somebody who hasn't been raised with a lot of love and care. But every woman and every boy also has to, sometimes you've got to retrofit it, you know. You've got to find how to keep yourself safe and free. Because safety doesn't mean you have to be afraid, or to be afraid of the world is a bad thing. Safety means that you can go confidently in the world, because you have this invisible force field of decency around you, and nothing that is indecent can come close to you, you know. So, I don't know.
No, that's good.
I wish that for every kid.
Yeah.
On the planet. Yeah.
Confidence, and you know, having that respect.
It gives you confidence. Yeah, because anything that disrespects you must be removed, or you step away from. Hi, this is Lucy Lawless, otherwise known as Xena Warrior Princess, and I urge you to join Joy, because who doesn't need more of that? We're loud, we're proud, we're here. Joy Radio.
The final thing. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lucy Lawless, and you're listening to Broad. Broad's on Broad.
B-R-O-A-D.
B-R-O-A-D. That's it. Yep. I had to think about that.
Yeah, it's funny because we say in American English, we say broad.
Oh, okay. Well, you say it in your American tongue.
Can I say it in American accent?
Please. Yeah, please do.
Okay. This is Jamie Babbitt, the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
So we had to cut that a little bit short, our International Women's Day special here on Broad. It was a Monday night. Yes, Monday the 6th of March. But I'm just going to keep going. add a bit here and there. So we'll hear the conclusion of Lana's chat, Lana Wolf chatting to us about intersectionality, how important that is, diversity, and of course being a woman of colour and that experience that we do have. And also you'll hear a few other sort of sound bites from super guests I've had, amazing women guests in the past year here on Broad to celebrate International Women's Day, of course. Now, I want to thank Miss Risk as well. I forgot to do that, actually. But also just to look at some of the fabulous women of colour, black women of this country, her story. Now, NITV has put that together, a list of 20 trailblazing Indigenous women who've changed Australia, and that's compiled by Andrea Booth and Luke Briscoe. There's just a handful here. I might just read them out for this particular special podcast for International Women's Day, because right here in Australia, right here in the Dreaming, right here in this country, we've had some amazing women from the past. And, of course, just to acknowledge again those women and to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, that this podcast broadcasts to, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin Elder women from the past, present and the future, and our future elders as well. Also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander lands we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future, and those who are no longer with us. We pay respect to those people from the past, those very special women. And one of them, of course, is of course Truganini, 1812 to 1876. Truganini, a defiant, strong and enduring individual, even to her last breath. She's a symbol of the survival of the Tasmanian Aboriginals, and her life epitomizes the story of European white invasion. As a young girl, she was taught her culture, but when Aboriginal life was disrupted by European invasion, this changed her forever. Despite witnessing the most horrific crimes against humanity, Truganini believed the only way to fight against white invaders was to learn their ways in order to gain empathy. Very interesting. And we've got Shirley Colleen Smith, jumping forward a lot in time, 1924 to 1998, a prominent activist and mum. Shirley Colleen Smith, Mum Shirl, was known by everyone in the Redfern district, a suburb of Sydney, of course. She was a founding member of many of the valued services for the Indigenous community, including the Aboriginal Legal Service, Aboriginal Housing Company, Aboriginal Tent Embassy, and the Aboriginal Children's Service, Aboriginal Medical Service as well. These services still play a vital role in the livelihood and welfare of Indigenous people in the New South Wales area, and have influenced other Indigenous communities to establish similar services around the country. And another woman, Eleanor Harding, 1934 to 1996. She was an equal rights and education campaigner, a respected figure who poured her energy into achieving a better deal for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. She was especially passionate about women's issues and education. And Eleanor was a member of the Aborigines Advancement League and the Victorian branch of the Federal Council for the Advancement of Aborigines and Torres Strait Islanders in the 1960s, that is. And during this time, she worked on a national campaign to ensure equal rights for Indigenous Australians. She was also known for her work in pushing for improving Indigenous Australian rights through constitutional change. The 1967 referendum on the Constitution ensued, so she was influential in that area. So amazing. As an executive member of the National Aboriginal and Islander Women's Council, Eleanor was part of the women's rights advocacy group that protested against the bicentennial celebrations in 1970 in Sydney, and the women's contingent that travelled to Canberra to support, of the 1972 Aboriginal Tent Embassy protest. And then there's other people. And the list goes on. There's 20 altogether. Essie Coffey, the Bush Queen, as she was known, 1942 to 1998. Rights campaigner Essie Coffey was committed to improving Aboriginal rights and equality. And throughout the 60s and 70s, Essie worked in the health and legal service fields, and went on to be appointed to the New South Wales Lands Trust and the New South Wales Advisory Council, and was a prominent figure in the Aboriginal movement in Brenwana in her later years. Mrs. Coffey was awarded the Order of Australia Medal in 1985. And there's so many other fantastic black women, strong Aboriginal, strong Indigenous women who've done a lot for the land, a lot for the country, and for other sisters. So, sisters, we just say thank you so much for that help. And there are plenty of future women, future elders who will come forth, I'm sure, or working now to help the community. So we do thank them.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organized, assertive, activist, day,
broad,
on Joy 94.9.
International Women's Day. So welcome, Carmen Perez, to Broad.
Thank you for having me. It's truly an honor.
Yes.
And we certainly encourage people to celebrate women on International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, it's something that needs to happen every day, not just one day, but certainly in agreement with that.
Yes.
So I think the Women's March on Washington was really able to be the catalyst for what we see happening in the world right now, from the Muslim ban, the protests that were happening at the airports, you know, ensuring that we protect our families that are refugees, you know, in regards to what's been happening with the ICE raids in America. I find it inspiring that our global community has come together in solidarity with those of us that are here in the United States, particularly because we do know that policies that are birthed out of the United States can sometimes harm other countries. And so being together in solidarity, working in collaboration, working in coordination, making sure that, you know, we understand that a harm to one is a harm to all, right? An injury to one is an injury to all. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we are inspired by the fact that the Women's March on Washington has been a catalyst to allow these different actions to happen all over not only the country, but also the globe.
Hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Very inspiring. And you guys are like the trifecta, you know, in a horse race. When you see yourself, Tamika Mallory, and of course, Linda Sarsour, who's been under some intense... I know you all are, but she's been particularly targeted at this time.
Our sister Linda has definitely been under attack, and we just, you know, are so grateful that she continues to fight every day, not only for her community, but for our community. And she always reminds us that our liberation is bound in one another. And so if we could show that type of togetherness and that type of unity and solidarity, that young people and women all over the world are inspired by that. And we're also inspired by the energy and the support that people are giving us. So we really want to thank your audience for doing that. So I want to give a shout out to Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you for having me. Thank you to all your listeners. Thank you to you for having me on your show and letting me share some of my work on the Women's March on Washington. But I hope that people are inspired, and I also look forward to continue to build with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Carmen. All the best, and thank you very much for your time today.
Hi, I'm Tanya Lee Davis, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
So, hey, this was the extra bit of tonight's show, the IWD special, the Be Bold for Change. I should say the hashtag Be Bold for Change. Now, don't forget, Wednesday, 8th of March, 5:30 p.m. at Parliament House Building. If you're in Melbourne, I'm sure if you're in Sydney or other parts of Australia, there's going to be a heck of a lot of activities and things to remember and things to do as we try to create a better working world, a more inclusive, a more gender equal world as well. And that's the pledge for gender parity. The pledge is for equality, for socio-economic, cultural, and political equality, and to celebrate those achievements already made by women and to keep that pressure on, to keep that movement happening. And in the US, they're going to be doing A Day Without a Woman, hashtag A Day Without a Woman, which is the strike. They're hoping it's a national-wide strike. Every state will see what happens. Some will be in solidarity. Some people will be wearing red. Some people will buy nothing day, not go shopping, don't contribute to the capitalist system that keeps us down, that oppresses us. Other people will be happily striking because they are unionized or part of a union, and there's not enough people that belong to unions. And as Van Bandham says, if you don't belong to a union, you're not doing anything for feminism. And she does have a point. But for those who can't afford union fees and that sort of thing, you can still wear something red. You can still be in solidarity and keep informed of other activities in the future, I'm sure. And it's not over for the Women's March on Washington, D.C., and the Women's March on Melbourne, and the Women's March on Sydney, on London, wherever the Women's March has been, wherever it's been, Mumbai, wherever. Because it is International Women's Day, and we're going to hashtag Be Bold for Change and call on you, and call on all of us women to stand together, and to do this thing and get gender parity and equality and safety. And for our trans sisters, we stand with them to create a safe world for them to be our sisters. They are our sisters, and there's too much violence and inflicted upon them, and we can't stand for that. And for non-binary and gender non-conforming, we stand with you too. So wherever you are, queer, women, whatever, we stand with you. And this is what Broad is about after all. So yes, I'm going to stop myself from ranting on now, finish this podcast, get it loaded, get it up there. And you can head to the Joy Facebook page. Like I said, we've got Twitter at BroadFem949. Check us out. Keep listening to the podcasts. If I can get them up and loaded as soon as possible, I will, including some of the extended interviews, which you might have heard a segment of them on tonight's special International Women's Day show. The first line, the movement saved my life. And then just in the second paragraph, where you talk about the women's movement and how important that was for equal rights, the Equal Rights Amendment, and speaking out against rape, sexual harassment and wage inequity. That's quite something to put that on the first page.
Well, that's who I am, and it's not rhetoric. The movement saved my life. I would not be talking with you today if it were not for the movement. The movement saved my life when I was a teenager getting ready to kill myself because I didn't want to be queer. And then later when I contracted HIV and came very close to dying, ACT UP stormed the National Institutes for Health and the Food and Drug Administration, confronted the pharmaceutical industry, and I gained access to the medications that ultimately saved my life. But I also want people to understand that, you know, for gay men of my generation, feminism was a lifeline. And I was very, very deeply influenced by women like Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon long before I met Harvey Milk. Because feminism said that our destinies were not determined by our gender. And so that message meant one thing to women, but it had another very powerful message for many, many men, especially gay men. So for me, so much of the LGBT movement really is stands on the shoulders of these women who came before us. And I've never forgotten that. This is Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. Broad. Broad.
So what do you want me to say?
Like, oh, just your name. Embrace. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Taryn.
Taryn, yeah.
I'm Taryn Brumfitt. I'm the director of Embrace. And no, you tell me what I say.
This is Taryn Brumfitt, director of Embrace, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. See, I never say it.
Oh my God,
I'm Taryn with a different voice.
You could do it for me.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Taryn Brumfitt. I'm the director of Embrace, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Perfect. That was great.
Good.
As long as I don't mark up which one to edit. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
And then they hear my voice. No, you're not. That's on you, not Taryn. So be proud, be strong. Sisters matter. And thank you for listening to Broad. We're almost a year old. Let's see if we can get there, get to April, and to celebrate our first birthday. I have to think of something, not just a birthday cake. This is Sonia Hammer, and this is Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Lucy Lawless, otherwise known as Xena Warrior Princess, and I urge you to join Joy, because who doesn't need more of that? We're loud, we're proud, we're here. Joy Radio.
The fact that it's got Like a Girl in the title, and you know, part of the reason for that title is that we are conditioned to view women and girls as being lesser somehow. Mm. And, you know, many people deny that that's a reality that exists, but that is the reality that we live in. We know that because we do have phrases like a girl used constantly, and people pretend that they use them as jokes or whatever. But when you kind of like strip that back and ask them to explain why it's funny, why is that funny? Why is it funny? Why is it meaningless to talk about the way that girls do things as being less than or being rubbish somehow?
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, then you extrapolate and recognize that we still live in a world which subjects girls and women to, you know, extraordinary levels of violence. To be born into this world and to be a girl is not something that gives you, you know, the exploitation and the violence that awaits us in all sorts of different ways is huge.
Mm.
And there's no way that you can kind of discount that. You know, something that I struggle with is people who argue that, you know, well, equality has been achieved and all this feminism rubbish is just going too far. But yeah, you know, we live in a world where equality hasn't been achieved, and yet people will argue that it has. And in the same breath, when you say to them, well, what do you say about violence against women? What do you say about sexual violence? What do you say about the fact that 1 in 5 girls over the age of 15 will experience some form of sexual violence in her lifetime?
Mm.
And their response usually seems to be, well, that's the world.
Really?
Yeah, you kind of think so. You believe that we live in a world that's equal, and yet at the same time, you believe that it's just human nature to, that's just something that we can't challenge or change. That the reality of violence against girls and women is just a human nature kind of deal. It's just a fact.
Yes.
And then, funnily enough, as well, you know, as a feminist, being accused all the time of demonizing men and thinking that, you know, why do you make out all men to be potential rapists? And you think, well, I don't. I live in my mindset demands more of men than that, and expects that men can be more than that. It's the mindset that says that women need to modify their behavior because otherwise they should know what to expect, that actually positions men as, you know, like a necessary threat.
Exactly. You know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Given that focus
and also
attention.
Because, hi, this is Clementine Ford. I hate doing these things because I always mess it up halfway through.
It's all right.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 90. Oh my God.
94.9.
94.9. Let's try this again.
Okay.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9 FM, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl, just as I know Sonia does.
Thank you.
When I took a ride to the nearest open air. Didn't have a spare, and now we're here talking about the last battle shot of a long kiss goodnight.
You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.